is a Furnish Brothers production.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Talkin' Buds Podcast. The Talkin' Buds Podcast. About the buds, by the buds, for the buds.
This is the Talking Buds Podcast.
Welcome to episode 56 of the Talking Buds Podcast, our first full-length episode since everyone is staying home, social distance, COVID-19 shuts the season down, the world is in lockdown, except for you, Ryan.
Yep, for personal reasons, like, some people are struggling with this quarantine thing, and I could promise you right now, with a little bit of this, and time to sit and do whatever I want for 14 days, if you know me well, you know I'm down. You know I am down for that.
Oh, yeah,
PBR. I loaded up on the PBRs, man.
I just cracked one of my many Cottage Springs vodka soda peach.
So much PBR in my garage, and I added some Canadian to the mix. You.
Way to be prepared.
I'm ready to go, my guy.
So,
ready.
The world is still pretty much on lockdown. No return for the National Hockey League in sight. It's going to be a while until we see some Leaf hockey, buddy. I fear the worst in that we may not see them again until next October. I know that there's been rumors bandied about potentially doing like a 24-team playoff. But this is going to be a long haul, man. Like, it's going to be a while until we come out the other end of this thing. And so, I don't know. I just, like I said, I worry that they might just cancel the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's so possible. And are you going to come back and play with nobody in the stands? Like, tough call. How long can you push it? You don't know how long it's going to last.
And, like, best case scenario, people are saying like end of April, early May. But even then, they'd still be playing without fans.
Yeah, and to me, that's a timeline that makes sense to start playing games again. You're not too far gone at that point, but you got to make the decision. If like, do you want the fans in the stands or playing out the season? Do you need a cup winner? Owners are involved. If there's no one there buying the drinks, paying for the tickets, buying the food, the t-shirts. Like, what do they get out of it?
Overdrive was actually having this discussion the other day, and I'm totally on board with it. If you're going to play without fans, it's time to look at maybe playing games in some different venues and start exploring, like, camera angles, like on the glass, like that sort of like intimate camera experiences, like taking you right into the game. Like, you don't need to play in the giant arenas if there's no fans there. Like, why not play in like a smaller setting, light the rink a little differently? Like, I love that. I love that idea. Like, really gear it towards like an unreal TV viewing experience. All right, it's time to get into this week's topic du jour. First and foremost, I want to thank everybody for your suggestions. We got a lot of great suggestions of things people would like to hear us discuss, and we've got nothing but time. So we're going to get to each one of your suggestions, because as we were saying earlier, we have no idea when hockey's coming back. So don't worry, we'll get to it. But I wanted to start with this, Ry. I wanted to do this one while the 2019-2020 Toronto Maple Leafs were still fresh in everyone's head. You heard me say a lot this season that this was, in my opinion, other than maybe the Carlisle-Horachuk season, this has been the craziest, most unpredictable, volatile, inconsistent Leaf year that I can ever remember. Like, by far.
Yeah, plus add on top the expectations.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those Carlisle teams weren't expecting much from them. But when you get your core, all this playoff experience and all this hype, and you got one of the best players in the league, that just adds to it.
So what we're going to do here, Rye, is we are going to go on a little journey. We are going to go on a little retrospective, and we're going to go through the timeline of the 2019-2020 Toronto Maple Leafs. Are you ready to go?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's ready to go. All right. Okay.
Slamming.
So, Ryan, let's jump in the time machine and go right back to before camp started. The summer of 2019. Without a doubt, the biggest story all offseason was Mitch Marner's contract negotiations. Mitchie and his dad, Paul, via Darren Dreger on Twitter, took tons of abuse over the summer. Rumors were going around. The big rumor was that he wanted the same deal that Austin Matthews got. And at the time, Ryan, the fan base disagreed with this. And you go back and listen to our episode from then. It was heated at the time, buddy.
Yeah, dude, the only problem with doing this episode is I'm probably going to contradict myself a lot from when my first opinions of when these things happened.
Two other main storylines heading into training camp was who will the next captain be? The top three candidates were rumored to be Austin Matthews, Morgan Rielly, and John Tavares. Ryan, I seem to remember you just being over that seemingly endless debate.
Yeah, because it wasn't just last season. It's been like three seasons. They were without a captain for like 3 years. And it was just stupid. It's almost like they wanted to not name a captain to avoid drama, but somehow built up way more drama doing that by waiting so long to name a captain. I know for a fact I was all behind the Morgan Rielly pick, and I'm still behind the Morgan Rielly pick, hindsight being 2020.
And the third big storyline heading into camp, there were other little ones like at this point, by the time we got to camp, like the Nazem Kadri trade for Tyson Barrie and Kerfoot had kind of blown over. So it wasn't like a major story heading into camp. Like we were anxious to see the new additions. But the third one, in my opinion, was if letting Mike Babcock return as head coach was the right decision, especially, Ryan, after there were rumors in the offseason about Dubas lobbying to Shanny that he wanted to fire Babs. And after yet another disappointing first-round exit at the hands of the Boston Bruins.
Yep. And now, man, that's Mike. Deciding if Mike's going to come back, that seems like a absolute lifetime ago.
Right? Right?
What?
Well, remember, man, we were all calling for his job. Do you not remember that after Game 7 last year? Enough's enough.
The first 3 months of this podcast this season was just a rip Mike show.
Oh, don't worry. We're going to talk about that, buddy.
Good pro.
So now we finally got there. We've got to camp, Ryan, and shortly after training camp opens, the Leafs and Mitch Marner agree to a six-year, $65.3 million contract with an average annual value of $10.9 million per season. A deal to this day, Ryan, I think we all feel is a little rich for Mitch.
Yeah, what's your hindsight take on this?
I think it's, based on the season he's had, massive, massive, massive overpay. And I think this deal is what has really earned Kyle Dubas's reputation of just like ridiculously overpaying players
and giving Austin Matthews 5 years.
Yes.
Like, good job, bud.
Yes. 100%.
Killing it. Killing it right? up there.
So
bud.
So I totally get that. Like, he had to do what he had to do.
No, but dude, it's looking back. Like, I'm not going to let this time off make my mind forget about this season. Right now, if the season's still going, they're in a playoff spot. But man, this is a gross overpayment. Disgusting overpayment. There's not a lot of players in this league who are worth this much on your cap and taking this much off your cap to add to your to other parts of your hockey team. It's a gross overpayment. There's like, no two ways about it. I'm not going to sit here and talk about how great of a passer he is. Yeah, he's a good passer. He's a good little hockey player. Gross overpayment. I'm sorry.
Marner's current numbers are 16 goals and 51 assists.
Yeah, like he's having a good year. He's a point. He's more than a point per game hockey player. But like we've watched them all year, and you need more at everybody, and it's hard. It's not so much the player. It's just like, man, if you're taking up that chunk, plus there's other guys on your team taking up that chunk, you better step up. You better be there, or else you're gonna be criticized.
So, fast forward about a week and a half into camp, and after months of speculation about him being named the next captain, news breaks that Austin Matthews has been charged with disorderly conduct stemming from an incident during the previous summer in which Austin and his friends, who were absolutely gooned at the time, attempted to scare a security guard who worked at his condo building in Arizona by attempting to enter her vehicle at 2 o'clock in the morning. But it gets better, folks. I know a lot of you probably haven't thought about this in a while, but remember, there's another level to this story. When the security guard got out of the car to confront Matthews and his friends, she stated that Matthews, quote, pulled his pants down, bent over, and grabbed his butt cheeks. So, Ryan, at this
butt
point, we're
cheeks.
Only... Butt cheeks. So, at this point, Ryan, we're only like a week and a half into camp, and you're finding out that your best player has been charged with disorderly conduct because him and his buddies sent it and then decided to mess with a female security guard in one of the dumbest decisions.
One of the dumbest things I've ever seen in sports, period.
Yeah.
Bro, like this is a story, like, man. You got to be looking back on this when you're like 30 and must be so embarrassed.
Oh, I know.
What a garbage story. Like, what are you doing, man?
I know. Well,
like,
it's just, you know what? And we
what
talked
are you
about
doing.
We've talked about, we've gone off about these kids and their maturity level. And it's like the kid makes so much money and he thinks he's invisible and he made a dumb decision.
Yeah, he thinks he's the GOAT. And all of a sudden, you just, that's so brutal. It's the worst part, too, because it was a woman, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you were just, like, playing around with a guy security guard, like, it's a little different. It's still not right, but this is not a great story to look back on if you're Ryan, him in the future. Like, that's that. What are you doing, bud?
Ryan, my favorite part of this story is Kyle Dubas says the next day that he found out about the incident, just like the rest of us, on Twitter. And I don't know if you remember, but he was not happy.
No, and nor should he. And if you got to be honest with any employer or whatever, your boss, it's better just to call straight up and be straight up honest with them.
The
team best way
never,
to go about it.
The team has never come out and confirmed this, but I think we can all like assume that this effectively knocked Matthews out of the running to become the next captain.
It's embarrassing. It's an embarrassing story. And I don't want to be like just automatic judgment on Austin Matthews. Like, people have made lots of dumb decisions and done lots of horrible things. So I don't want to just pin him down just on this incident. But if you're just looking at the facts and what happened, it's really bad. Like, what do you, like, you got to have a buddy out there with you. Like, if you're that, if you're Austin Matthews and you're making a ton of money and you're a top guy in the NHL and you got a little bit of fame, you have to have a guy on your team who has your back to make sure you don't do stuff like that.
Yep.
Like, well, always hang out with that guy. Always have that guy in your back pocket because he'll save you and you'll avoid embarrassing stories like that.
I was actually reading articles about this earlier today when I was prepping for the show, and one of his buddies did try and calm the security guard down. And while he was doing that, Matthews, who once again was absolutely gooned, decided to moon her.
Yeah. Oh.
The charges would later be dropped in November, and Matthews would issue an apology. So since then, Ryan, nobody's really talked about this, and everyone's forgotten about it.
Yeah, you forget about it, but there's been a lot of athletic scandals. Like, Kobe Bryant had a scandal. Rest in peace. Ray Lewis had a scandal.
Yep.
Like, there's been a lot of scandals. And this one, in hindsight, isn't as bad as some other ones, but this is a terrible story on your record. Like, oh, boy.
Before we move on from training camp, Ryan, I'm about to blow your mind with this one. Let's not forget that Kyle Dubas brought in Michael Neuwirth on a PTO in an attempt to fix the backup goalie situation. Did you remember that that happened?
Yeah, but I knew Neuwirth was a Band-Aid in the first place. And I'm not going to lie. Like, Hutch came in the year before, played 5 games, and I can't remember which months, and he was okay. He was decent. I was all for Hutchie getting the spot.
We had nowhere to go but up after Garrett Sparks.
Oh, that was terrible. And not only, it's not even Garrett. Like, just the past history of this team's backup goaltending has always been atrocious. So I was down for Hutchie getting the spot.
And he did ultimately get the spot because Neuwirth's injury history got the better of him, and he was released from his PTO. And coming out of training camp, Michael Hutchinson was your backup goalie behind Freddie.
And I was on board, 100%. I was down.
So that brings us to the first game of the season, Ryan, and at home against the Ottawa Senators. And during playoff introductions, the Leafs announced their new captain, John Tavares, a decision that was met with a mostly positive response at the time. And I think, for the most part, people still are okay with JT being the captain. I never think about it, to be honest. It's not something that keeps me up at night. Well, I mean, it's not something that keeps me up at night. Like, I've called Johnny T's leadership out multiple times, but to me, it's like having the C on your jersey isn't gonna, like, I don't know. Like, it's a letter sewed onto your jersey. Like, Jake Muzzin is a leader in that room. He doesn't have a letter on his jersey. He just carries himself in such a way that he's looked at as a leader.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's all meaningless. But Johnny, struggling or not, you can't question the guy's character, and you know how hard he works. So, like, it's a good choice. Like, I can't say John Tavares is not a good choice to be a captain. He's a good dude. Good guy. Good pro. Good player.
Good pro.
That's the best part about reviewing the season. You can just bring back.
Oh, there's
just
a
old
few
jokes that were just thrown to the wayside, and now they're just back.
He was just not himself to start the season because Hyman was on the shelf.
No,
he was not right.
Yeah, good family.
Anyways,
good pro.
Right out of the gate to start the season, the Leafs don't look right. They just shoot out in there. They're just inconsistent right off of the bat, Ryan. They pick up a few wins against the Sens and the Blue Jackets, but then suffer losses to the Blues. A 7-3 ass-kicking at the hands of the Lightning, which I was in attendance for.
Lovely.
Then they lose John Tavares for 2 weeks to a broken finger. And right away, Ryan, questions are being asked about Babs' job security and Dubas' decision to make Michael Hutchinson the backup goaltender. Ryan, this feels like a lifetime ago.
A broken bingy.
Remember that? Remember that when he was out for a couple weeks with a broken finger?
Yeah, it's the whole beginning of the season. Like, this is... It was a disaster.
It was a disaster.
It felt like a nightmare, bro. And Ryan, it gets better, bro.
Gets better, buddy. October 29th, so we're not even a full month into the season yet, okay? October the 29th, the Washington Capitals come to Scotiabank Arena. And what happened earlier that day, Rye? Alex Ovechkin was asked to comment on this young Leaf team. Do you remember this? And it was
honestly,
just...
it's actually... I respect Ovi for doing this, to be honest with you. It's like, I'm just going to say how it is. I'm a GOAT. I'm probably the greatest goal scorer in the league. I'm going to say what I want in the market where I dominate every time I come here. That guy has the respect around the league to say something like this.
The exact quote from Ovi Ryan was, "They're still a young group of guys. Hopefully they're going to learn, but it's up to them how they want to do it. If they want to play for yourself or if they want to win a Stanley Cup, they'll have to play differently." Ryan, that quote right there perfectly sums up the 2019-2020 Toronto Maple Leafs.
And he's not wrong. And no, he's a GOAT. And he's a top goal scorer.
That quote would summarize the Leafs for the rest of the season.
And he's not wrong because he used to be one of those immature guys. He used to be one of the top players in the NHL who'd score 50, 60 Genos a year and dominate and look like a legend and be talked about. But every single year, they get dusted in the second round. Lose to the Penguins a bunch of times. Lose to the Habs that one year with Halak. Just a bunch of disappointing playoff runs. And then one year, he comes back. He's matured. He's still dominating. And he finds out that he needs to be a certain type of leader and play a certain type of way to get the job done, which is frustrating waiting for young guys who have all the talent in the world to figure that out. And if anybody could drop that quote on this hockey team, it is that guy right there.
Yep, 100%. And I said it at the time, check the tape, that I perfect guy to be making this comment, and he's bang on, and I still believe it to this day, and yeah. I think that comment remains accurate
100%
for the Maple Leafs. They never figured it out. They still have games where they go
still
out there
in that same range that he's talking about.
Yep, 100%.
They have not changed.
Ryan, Babs would later affirm Ovi's comments, going on a classic Babcock-style diatribe about team building and good pros and family men and steady on the rudder and whatever. And like, I'm not going to, I looked it up today. I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but I am going to read you my favorite quote from his diatribe.
I badly wanted to attempt that quote in that voice, and I'm so happy you did it. Cause I'm just so afraid. I'm so afraid to start doing it. It's going to be so bad.
You do a better Babs than me, so give it a shot.
I hate bad impressions.
Do it. Give it a shot. You do it better than me. Yeah, do it a shot. Come on.
You know, one thing is it gets our attention and it hurts your feelings a little bit.
Yeah. See, you're way better at it than I am. It's just like, it's just one of those Babcock quotes where you're just like, what?
You're off your rocker, bro.
Yeah, I know.
You're a stubborn old man.
Yeah, you are out to lunch.
Yeah, you are just, you think your way is the best way, and anyone else who thinks differently is a complete idiot.
So, the Toronto media now, their new favorite thing is to ask incoming superstars to give their take on the Maple Leafs. So, a week later, the LA Kings come to town, and Drew Doughty is asked to give his take, and he gives a vague quote that, in my opinion, was totally blown out of proportion. And I took it down here, and I'm going to read it to you. He said, "You need to count on every single guy in every situation. Even though you have a scorer like Ovechkin or something like that, when it comes to playoff time, you expect him to play defense. You expect him to block shots. You expect him to finish hits." And then he there's a second comment to that that's just as vague, but it was completely blown out of proportion about, like, he's commenting on the Maple Leafs too, which leads to something we've talked about on this pod a million times about the media. and how they just take any little crumb you give them and just blast it into the stratosphere.
Yeah, just put the Mentos in the Diet Coke. That's what they do. And let that explode. And Drew likes to run his mouth every time he gets to a big market. And I have a lot of respect for the guy. Like a two-time cup champion. He was a goat in the Olympics. Guy's a horse, man. Guy's a legit workhorse. And I respect him. And sometimes when he runs his mouth, I don't always agree with him. But, man, when you got two rings and you're the top guy playing 30 a night, and you're making as much money as he is, and he's respected as he is around the league, you just added on to it. Yep. And it's embarrassing. Dude, it's embarrassing. These guys come to the Scotiabank Arena and are interviewed by the top hockey market, and they know what the media is like. They know that their opinion's going to be posted, and people are going to talk about it, and they just take fire. And what happens? Does a Maple Leaf go out there and respond? And be like, what the hell, man? Let's go. Let's dance.
Nope.
I have so much respect for Matthew Tkachuk out in Calgary. If that guy heard that in Calgary, he'd be all over him.
Yeah.
Just all over him, pissing him off all night. And what do? We're waiting for our chance on the power play to get back at them. Like, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Ugh.
All right, I'm keeping us on the the timeline here. We're riding this time machine. The Leafs continue their inconsistent ways. Michael Hutchinson is put on waivers for the first time this season, and the seat continues to get hotter and hotter for Babcock. This all comes to a head, Ryan. Saturday, November 16th, Hockey Night in Canada. Do you know the game I'm talking about? The Leafs, with Kasimir Kaskisuo in net, get their asses handed to them by the Pittsburgh Penguins. A classic quit on the coach game. We weren't together that night, Ryan, but you were at home watching, and you were blowing up my phone that night and being like, it's over. They've just completely given up on him.
Yeah. It's weird. That's twice they've played the Penguins this year. I'm sure we'll get to that later, but the first time,
it
was so obvious, man. It was so obvious what was going on.
Yeah,
we got on here every episode and we ripped them.
Yep.
We ripped them.
Yeah, we ripped them for being stubborn, ripped them for rolling four lines, ripped them for not changing line combinations. Like,
just being a bit of a dick.
Yep. Oh, yeah. A bit.
Like, the guy's a bit of a dick. Like, like, he may be a great coach, well respected, but at the end of the day, that's what he is.
Well, Ryan, 4 days later, after yet another loss in Vegas with a record of 9-10-4, they finally pulled the trigger and announced that they had relieved Mike Babcock of his duties and had promoted Marlies head coach Sheldon Keefe to the big club as the new HC. That was a move that had been rumored for a really long time because Keefe and Dubas have been together forever.
In cahoots.
Where were you, Ryan, when you got the news that the Leafs had fired Mike Babcock?
Where was I? Probably my work truck, to be honest with you. You were at work.
I was leaving work with
a
buddy of mine.
You probably let me know.
Yeah, I was leaving work with a buddy of mine who is also like a fellow diehard Leaf fan, and we were just like blown away that they actually did it, and we were so excited that we went and got a beer and wings. And talked about Babs getting fired. And then I came home and did a podcast with you.
It's a pretty good story.
Man, it's just so crazy. That feels like forever ago.
And we could do a whole separate episode on Mike Babcock's journey with the Maple Leafs.
Now there's an idea.
Yeah, like that's I could get into that for 45 minutes easily.
Yeah, for sure.
But the writing was on the wall. We all knew, and it sucked because when he got hired, we were all so excited, and you thought this was the guy who's coming here to turn things around, and he did in a lot of ways. He might be a you-know-what sometimes, but he did change the culture around this hockey team.
He came in and he was right at the right time. Yeah. In all my years of following Toronto sports, Ryan, I never remember the shine coming off somebody like it did him. Like, you're right. Like, he came in. Like, I remember, like, refreshing Twitter to check on the MLSE plane when they hired him and being, like, just, like, over the moon when they hired him. And then by the time, for me, I really started to turn on him during the first Boston series. That's when I was like, okay, enough's enough with you and your insistence on rolling four lines and never changing anything and your condescending comments. Like, I just, that's when I was really like, all right, like, we need to start looking at getting a more open-minded guy in here. And then there were the rumors forever that the players hated him. And, like, he went and visited Matthews in the off season, and it was just, it just didn't work. He couldn't work with the young kids. He just couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's painfully obvious. And, like, it was a, man, I still remember him getting hired like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Just so pumped. Just be like, yep, this is the guy. And, no doubt, he changed the culture here into more of a winning culture. I know it's not cup contending, but as soon as they got somewhat legit, they were in the playoffs every single year, and you expected them to be there.
Yep.
And that's what he brought. And I got so sick and tired of the comments, the press conferences, and the just shtick with the families and the...
Well, you said...
And the hard work, and it's just...
You said a lot on this podcast that you would hate playing for him.
Oh, I can't... I would hate it.
Yeah.
I don't like the type where it's like, oh, I love him because he's so hard on us. Some guys don't work under that system.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So after they canned him, Ryan, like I said earlier, news started to come out about all the players couldn't stand him and some of his coaching methods. The biggest story after he was fired was that it was reported that during the 2016-2017 season, he asked a rookie player who was later confirmed to be Mitch Marner to rank his teammates based on work ethic. And he took a ton of heat from this in the media. And Ryan, he hasn't been heard from since.
That's a garbage move.
That dude is laying low and is still laying low. And he may come up again in the offseason when some coaches get fired, but when was the last time you heard the name Mike Babcock in the news? Since then, you haven't heard anything about him since.
Yeah, and then you had other players, and that just started a whole shtick that costed a bunch of coaches their jobs and other people their jobs. And at the end of the day, it's a garbage move. I would never do that to a player.
Yep.
Never in a million years if I was a coach.
He deserved the heat that he took. That's
yeah,
for
that's
sure.
A garbage move. You don't do stuff like that, man. Like that. Try to out your own teammates. It's like, you're not the cool guy if you're the coach. Like, come on. That's terrible. I didn't like that at all. That got under my skin.
Yep, it got under a lot of people's skin, buddy, but it didn't matter anymore, Ryan, because we were in the Sheldon Keefe era now. And his debut as head coach came on November 21st in Arizona, a game in which a rejuvenated-looking Leaf team won 3-1. And they would go on to win 4 of their next 5 under Sheldon Keefe. And remember, Tyson Barrie got a goal, and it was fixed. Tyson Barrie was fixed.
Cloud 9, baby.
Yeah, Tyson Barrie was fixed.
We're back. We are back. New coach, loves to do the cool things, work on the skills and the drills and the 50-puck challenge and the music and the between the legs, behind the back, sauce to your buddy across the ice, top Ched.
Has no problem just throwing his 6 defensemen in a blender all game long.
Yeah, he does blend just those.
Makes the fourth line
like no one I've ever seen in my life.
Makes the four.
Basically
the
come
goat
in and do the opposite of Mike Babcock.
Oh yeah, Freddie the Goat went from playing 14 minutes a night to 4. Yeah. Just treating his fourth line like a fourth line.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. It's like basically come in, just do what Babcock did. Do the opposite.
And there was also a difference. I wanted you to speak to this one. There was also a difference in the way the team played. Like when Keith came in, there's emphasis on puck possession. Don't turn the puck over. Pierre Engvall, curl back into your own end. Like, and the Babcock stretch pass, which drove you crazy,
yeah, the
was
stretch
totally
pass
removed from the
sucks,
repertoire.
But I'm going to be 100% honest. The whole possession, pass it back, D to D to D to D to D to D to giveaway isn't working for me either. Like that, it's not a great strategy.
Yeah, they need to come up with some sort of hybrid where sometimes
it's called
like,
dump the puck in and work hard to get the puck. That's what it's called.
Ryan, the only guy who's willing to go do that is
number
Zach
11.
Lyman. Yeah, Sticks. He's the only one. Yeah. Like you're gonna dump it in and Mitch Marner's gonna go get it. Caspery Cap. Well, hey, listen, I take that back. Cap's been playing with an edge.
Yeah, he does throw the body a little bit.
So I take that. I take that back, Caspery Kapanen. Mango's gonna go get it.
Yeah, dude.
Not to get too sidetracked here, we'll get back to the timeline in a minute, but can we all agree that we've probably seen Mango play his last game as a Leaf? Like,
decided to be a big deal.
Yeah. Just, well, he not really a big deal. He's not an affordable contract. But talk about a guy who was just so hyped by so many people and just like, I didn't even notice he was gone.
I know. He was gone for so long.
Yeah.
But then Engvall was dominating and all these other guys stepping up when Keith came in.
Like, Engvall is better than Mango. Yeah. See ya, Mango.
I gotta be honest. I can't stand this whole possession thing. If you want possession of the puck, when you lose it, you work twice as hard to get it back. That's how you win in this league, and that's how you get possession. Not curling back in your own zone and making 75 D-to-D passes before you either get in the zone or give it away.
I'm going to start saying that we're going to add a sound effect to this show every single time that you say something that's going to piss the analytics community off.
Guys, bring it on.
And I would hit that sound effect right now because there are some people who believe in analytics that are cursing your name right now after hearing that.
You go, wow. Explain to me why the Leafs are so good this year. Explain to me why the Leafs are a cup contender. Please. Yeah. Please sit down in front of me. I don't care.
Ryan, their expected goals are through the roof. That's great. My favorite one. Expected goals. It's like, so goals that they might score.
I don't understand. Like baseball, I totally get it. There's a pitcher, there's a batter, there's a couple pitches the guy can throw, and he usually throws them in the zone. So the percentage of him throwing it on the outside corner with a slider is higher in an 0-2 count, blah, 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 blah. And hockey, there's 10 guys on the ice skating around at 100 miles an hour with chasing after a little puck that is not controlled by anybody and it's just rampant in a small area. If you are trying to dissect this sport analytically, you're wasting your time. I'm on the Brian Burke train. I'm on the old school guy train. Like, come on. Expected goals. What are we doing?
Oh. All right, back in the time machine. So after the coaching change, Ryan, the Leafs would go on their longest run of sustained success all season, going 15-4-1 under Keefe and making him the first Leafs coach to ever win 15 of his first 20 games. Ryan, do you remember that run? It was around Christmas time.
Yeah, and they were back.
Yeah, they were back. And they were like, here we go.
They're back. They're back to a playoff team. They're back in contention.
Yep.
They figured it out. The power play is rolling. The top guys are being thrown into a blender on different lines, being successful. Nylander's with Tavares. They're dominating. They move Marner and Matthews, and all the Leaf fans are just so happy because their little dream of Mitchie and Matthews playing together has come true. And it seemed like it was back on track. It's legit again.
Two games I wanted to point out during that stretch was the epic 8-6 day game win over the Hurricanes just before Christmas on December 23rd. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I missed that game.
Yeah, and a 3-0 win at home over the Islanders on Jan 4th. A game that Michael Hutchinson got a shutout, Ryan. He was back.
Everything was fixed.
Everything was fixed.
Everything
and
was
it was good. Also at this time that Matthews, Freddie, and Mitchie were named All-Stars.
Legends.
But then
yeah, crazy. Honestly, that even just dissecting that period of time in this season is weird too.
Yep, I know. Dude, this is the weirdest. This is why I wanted to do this episode. This season is insane. They've just been up and down and up and down and up and down, and there's been so many extracurricular things that have gone on. Like it's been crazy. Because it's like, I just told you that like they got named All-Stars, and then heading into the All-Star break, Ryan, do you remember this? So this was the night, to refresh your memory, because you know I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. So this was the same night that the Packers were playing the Seahawks in the NFC divisional round, and the Leafs were in Florida, and they got dummied 8-4 by the Panthers. You remember that?
Garbage.
And then the following Saturday, they got embarrassed at home by the Blackhawks. One of the worst losses of the season, in my opinion.
Terrible.
Yeah, and it was around that time that they lost Morgan Riley to a broken foot.
Which is, like, it's so weird when guys who make such a huge impact on our team get injured and they're gone for a long period of time. Morgan Riley getting injured? Like, this guy is literally your best defenseman by a mile. It's not even close. And as we're about to get into to the next part of the season, he was gone for a long time.
Yeah, he was, man. He was gone for a really long time.
And, like, and the record really without him, I don't have it on hand.
Not great.
I did not. It's mediocre. It's yep. not good. It's not playoff contention. It's not Stanley Cup contention.
Yep.
It's no good.
Nope.
Losing a guy who plays 25 a night, or could play 25 a night, or could play 30 a night, and you're out there watching Justin Hole play 25, like
Dermott.
22.
Dermott just becomes a top two guy after Riley goes out with an injury.
Man, I feel bad for Dermott a bit.
Yep. Just a position, like just a not an unfair position. It was around this time too that Sandin got the call and was back in there full time, and they started experimenting with Liljegren, and like it's just they just didn't have enough talent / experience on the back end. They come out of the All-Star break, Rye, and what is the word to describe their play out of the All-Star break? It starts with an I.
Inconsistent.
That's right, inconsistent. On February 3rd, another game that I was in attendance for, Ryan, they're battling against the Florida Panthers, a team that is well documented. They've been in a playoff race with all season. They blow a 2-goal lead, and Freddie Anderson leaves the game with a neck injury.
Great.
That was like a month and a bit ago, and even that feels like a really long time ago.
Yeah, that anytime Freddie's going down, or anytime your top goaltender on any team in this league is going down, is a serious issue.
Oh, yeah. It's a problem, buddy. It's a problem.
Big time issue.
2 days later, they go to Madison Square Garden, and we're talking going into that game about Hutchinson's going to have to carry the mail, and he doesn't, and they lose 5-3. And do you remember what happened after that game, Ryan?
Enlighten me.
You and I are on the air doing a podcast, and news breaks that Kyle Dubas has acquired Jack Campbell and Kyle Clifford from the LA Kings in exchange for Trevor Moore and a conditional third-round pick. Jack Campbell, the backup goaltending upgrade that this team sorely needed, and they finally got him. And Clifford, who added the magic word that everyone loves to say, grit, to this Maple Leafs roster.
Sandpaper.
Truculence. As Berkey would say.
Yeah. Some toughness.
Campbell comes in, and they go 3-3 after acquiring him.
I thought he played unreal.
Regardless
of the record, I felt extremely comfortable with him in the net, and I thought he played phenomenal for the chance he had. He didn't come in an easy situation. Coming in here as a backup goalie, and while the main goalie's hurt, you're coming in as a bit of a savior for the backup position, and for that time, the starting position, to play as well as he played. I was so impressed with the guy, and I still am impressed to this day. I think he was phenomenal.
God, just seems like the ultimate teammate.
Beauty. Just a guy you could sit with and just talk about anything.
So
seems like a beauty.
After that, bud, we'd go into a back-to-back, and we come to the second Pittsburgh Penguins game in Pittsburgh where they get dummied. What was worse? Was the second
one
worse?
Dude, this was the worst game of the season. Yeah, yeah. The one before was a little too far away for me to remember.
The one before you have the excuse of Kaskasuo in the net and the team just being over Babcock.
Yeah, like this, I remember texting you, legit. This is the worst. Actually, no.
Careful.
I'm sure we're going to get there.
Careful.
This is the second worst game of the season.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah. But remember, they came back the couple days later at home and won 4-0, and we were talking about how hard they worked.
Yeah, so they kind of made up for it, which is stepping back to the inconsistency. But this game, I remember just, there's been a couple of games this year where sometimes I watch and I'm quiet and you don't hear much from me. And then some other games where they're getting just ripped like this game, I'm just lighting up your phone being like, this is garbage. This is awful. What are they doing? Like, this is terrible.
Well, and then they, like I said, they come back, they win 4-0, and we're all being like, yay, a full 60-minute effort.
Oh, they worked hard. They forechecked, Rob. They worked hard. Embarrassing.
Ryan. The time has come. Saturday, February 22nd. That was the day that I had to spend the day with my fiance saying goodbye to my father-in-law. And it was a really tough day. And I was like, you know what? Good news is tonight we'll just go somewhere. We'll sit. We'll have a couple drinks. Watch the Leaf game. Little did I know that I was about to watch what some consider, myself included, as the darkest moment in Toronto Maple Leaf history. Emergency backup goalie, 42-year-old Zamboni driver, David Ayers, comes in for the Carolina Hurricanes, who completely outworked the Leafs en route to a 6-3 victory on Hockey Night in Canada. And Ryan, when we first did a podcast after this happened, because we do one a week, right? So we don't, like, by the time we got on and did the show, this had passed a couple of days. So we didn't actually, like, go into this because we'd just been beaten down by it, just like everyone else. This, in my opinion, was the lowest I've ever felt as a Maple Leaf fan in all my years watching.
Dude, this was the worst game in the history of the franchise. Like, this, I can never remember. Like, let me say that again. I can never forget how I felt watching that. They were awful.
Yeah.
Awful. Like, beyond awful. No effort, no legs, no jam, no hard work at all. Just terrible. This guy comes in, and I'm just watching the game being like, I can't believe that Jim Houston and Craig Simpson are going to have to analyze this guy's goaltending play.
And as the couple of the goals they scored.
I know. And you're just like, yeah. And you're worried. You're like, I feel awful for this guy. The Hurricanes are working so hard. They've played so well. They deserve to be ahead. He comes in. He lets in a couple cheap goals off the bat. And I'm almost feeling awful for him. Like, I don't want it to happen like this. But then the third period starts, and within 5 minutes, my mind completely changed. I'm like, I cannot believe the Leafs are putting in this effort against this guy. They didn't sniff the net for a period. And I almost became a Carolina Hurricanes fan that night because a team that can work that hard under circumstances like that is a team that you want to cheer for and a team that you respect. That was easily the worst game in Toronto Maple Leaf history of all time. Hands down, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Garbage. And I don't want to be totally negative on this episode, but anybody who remembers this, and it was nice that this guy got his 15 minutes and it was a good story, and they were kind of in a bad situation. If they went out and dominated, it's like, okay, well, they had their goalie who drives the Zamboni who let in all the goals. And if they lose, then they're awful, they're brutal, and they can't beat a Zamboni driver. So they were kind of in a bad place. But if you really remember watching that game, the effort level was like, they might as well just not have gone out for the third period. They might as well just stayed in the room.
I have written here in my notes, this caused Leaf Nation to hit their lowest low I've ever seen.
That was ugly, man.
Yep. 2 days after the embarrassing loss to David Ayers, they announced that they had signed Jake Muzzin to a 4-year contract extension with an average annual value of $5.625 million, Ryan. Steady on the rudder guy in the back, to quote Babs. I like it.
I think you're going to regret it in 2 years, but okay.
In typical Leaf fashion, Ryan, following the embarrassing loss to David Ayers, they rattle off 3 wins over Tampa, Florida, and Vancouver. Marty Morenson being the getting the game winner against the Vancouver Canucks. And then the Florida win was what I thought one of their best of the season. I thought they were fantastic in that game. So we're about to go out west, Ryan, in a prime position. You're playing 3 of the worst teams in the league, and you got a chance to bury the Florida Panthers and cement yourself in a playoff position. And what happened, Ryan?
1-2-3. Bye-bye. 3 losses to the 3 worst teams in the Western Conference, all on a little beautiful California road trip. Thanks, boys. Inconsistency. Slam dunk again.
Yep. 1 of 6 possible points.
Garbage.
Yeah, that was another low in the season for me. It was just like, you guys, it was just another moment where it was like reiterated, like, you guys just don't get it. Like, you had a chance to just bury the Florida Panthers, the team you've been battling with all year, and you just, against 3 teams that you could, like, on paper, you should win those games. And like, and again, Ryan, we're talking about effort. Like, that is the main
embarrassing
thing. Yeah, the main thing, and it harkens back to Ovi's comments earlier that the young nucleus of this team just wants to win games based on their God-given ability and hasn't figured out that when you get to this league and when you're at this level, it takes more than just God-given ability. And that's something that Ovi had to learn, and that's something that all these guys are going to have to learn.
100%, and it could be next year, it could be the year after that, we don't know. But if you're talking about effort, it's terrible. I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed type of stuff. Like, what are we doing here? You can't work hard on the forecheck. You can't cover your guy in the D zone. That's easy stuff.
Yeah.
That's easy. Yeah. What's hard is scoring goals.
Yeah.
Covering your man and working hard, that is the easiest part of the game.
They're the other way around.
And it's, I don't get it.
So they return from the road trip, reactivate Morgan Riley, who, as you said earlier, was out for a really long time. Pick up a 2-1 win over the Lightning, which we talked about 2 episodes ago now. They're all set to face the Predators and then the Bruins on Hockey Night in Canada, Ryan, and then that's when it happened, buddy. The NHL, along with the NBA and Major League Baseball, all put their seasons on hold due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And here we are. So think about that. Think about everything we just talked about. Think about the roller coaster ride of things that went on this season, from the Marner contract negotiations to the Matthews being charged to starting the season and not meeting expectations and everyone's all over Babcock and all the drama about Hutchinson to firing Babcock to bringing in Keefe to going on a nice little run to coming back down to earth and being the inconsistent team they've been since the get-go to making the deal with LA to bring in Jack Campbell and continue to be inconsistent and battle with Florida all season long. And then it's just like, boom, done. Season stopped.
Yeah. So weird, man. And
here we are, right? Isn't it like, what a journey
These
last few months have been.
I know. And we just went through a lot of stuff, man. And it feels like we could have gone for 5 hours if we really got in depth.
Yeah. Like, we got to condense this puppy down.
Yeah. It almost seemed like too fast, but we're hitting like an hour here, and it seems like it was fast and a lot of stuff happened. It's just see you later. It's gone.
I know.
It's weird.
And like we were talking about earlier, it's like, we don't know if they're going to come back, man. Like, we just, it'll be a shame, dude, because, like, you look at Matthews' numbers right now, man. Like, 47 goals, 33 assists. Like, the dude's three away from 50. And it's like, that'll suck. That'll suck if he can't get 50.
What is your... Before I say this, I just want to... I feel like I've been too much on the negative train, and it's been hard because if you're as inconsistent as this team has been all year... It's hard to stay on the positive train and year after year after year after year of being a fan of this hockey team. They just beat you down, man. They beat you down. And I feel like I've been negative this episode. So I want to switch it over and ask you right now, what is your top three positive stories of this season?
Well, first and foremost, Matthews' numbers. We've gotten on Matthews for how he plays from a shift-to-shift basis, but his numbers are there. And he has the numbers to back up the fact that he's an elite player in this league. And so there's that. The second one for me is William Nylander. I think that William Nylander has had a much, much better season. And I think he's someone who's really flourished under Sheldon Keefe. Like, he's sitting at 31 goals, 28 assists right now. And it's like, I think he's been great. And to me, we talked about this two episodes ago, or maybe three episodes ago, I can't remember. They all blend together. But about, we know that this team's, after the season they've had and at the way they play, you're not going to be able to compete with the Bostons and the Washingtons and the Pittsburghs and the St. Louis's of the world unless you make a dramatic change to the DNA of the team. And I said it, and I stand by it, that you're going to have to remove a key piece. And trading away a Kapanen or a Mango is not going to do anything. Like, no offense to those guys. So Mitch Marner is my pick to be the one that you trade for a multitude of reasons.
Here you go, right here. Look part at this of that, take.
Part of that is because I think, not the whole reason, but part of the reason is because I think William Nylander has proved this year that under the right coach, in the right system, he can be the player we all thought he was going to be. And it's $6.9 million. That's not an overpay. So I said it before, and I'll say it again. If you're going to change the DNA of this team, my pick is Mitch Marner. The one you move. Number three for me. What's number three? See how hard it is to find positive. They've been an exciting team. It's been an interesting year. It hasn't been a year where you've been like, just like the last couple years, and you could argue maybe it's better, but like the last couple years, they were in a playoff spot by this time. So you just kind of coasted into the postseason, and these games have mattered, and that's been exciting. And I would also say that, like, bringing in Jack Campbell, making the deal to bring in Jack Campbell and Kyle Clifford, those were two additions. And the Kyle Clifford one, to me specifically, because that was Dubas finally signaling that, like, okay, there's an element here that my team's missing, and so I'm going to add this player to try and inject some toughness into this team. So your turn. What are your top three positive storylines of the season?
All right. Number one, and you might want to open your ears for this and really pay attention. Okay. And everybody else who listens to this podcast needs to stop what they're doing right now.
Okay.
And pay attention to what I'm saying. This is big. It's a big one.
Okay.
Number one, William Nylander season.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. Yep, you're there.
I'm there. If you really look back on this season, the biggest positive is how that guy's played since Sheldon Keefe took over. Like, just night and day, bro. Like, he was garbage last year, man. And the whole contract thing, I'm over it. But he was terrible. And then the years before that, he was pretty good. He was okay. But this year, he's just blowing it out of the water. He's looked completely different. He's dangerous. He's possessing the puck more. He's not going so much Kessel at the hash mark, turning back, making a lame pass in the O zone. So he is my number one story. Number two, Austin Matthews production. He's not McDavid. He's not some other players in the league who bring you other levels of their game in the D zone. But when it comes to just at the end of the day, the hardest thing to do in this league is to score individual goals. And the guy's killing it, man. Like, just having a top year plus him not getting injured is another thing for me. Like, that's big.
Yeah,
I know the season stopped, but up to that point, he wasn't injured. Took some hits. His shoulder didn't break on him or hurt him. His body didn't let him down. He's been there all year. And number three, it's been because of the cap crunch that has been created for this hockey team. Just seeing guys like Engvall and Sandin and Liljegren and a new guy like Mikheyev and even Jason Spezza making a minimum in the bottom six.
That was
six.
One thing that I knew I was missing something. That Ilya Mikheyev injury, that was one thing I was missing. In the timeline, I was looking at this today, and I'm like, I'm missing something. The Ilya Mikheyev injury.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff that's happened this season.
Yeah,
and we only got so much time to fill in an episode.
The Soup Man.
Yeah,
you love him.
Yeah, he's a beauty. I know. I'm sad he hasn't had the chance to get back, but that's. I like in a cap crunch. Like, obviously, I'd like for them to be still stacked and have a ton of talent and a bunch of veterans who are on good deals and have a bunch of young guys who are still on entry level. But there's nothing like a cap crunch to really see what you have in your organization and in your farm system. And that's something I've enjoyed personally this year, seeing all those guys get their shots, see where they're at. It's almost unfair that they're put in that position, but when you're in a cap crunch, you got to do what you got to do. So that's my number three.
I would agree on the third one. You're absolutely right. Like, I've enjoyed watching some of these new young. My God, how's my ability to string a sentence together right now?
Well, for those listening, we're recording this pretty late.
Yeah, we are recording this.
So
we're
two tired young men at this point.
Yes, we are. We are.
Mistakes are going to happen.
What I was trying to say there was watching these young rookies come into the lineup and produce and play well has been very, very exciting to watch. And you feel good about the future with those guys.
Yeah, and it makes you realize you can grab guys in any round or from free agency or from international signings, and you can plug in holes for cheap deals.
How'd you like to be Morgan Rielly?
Have a chance.
How'd you like to be Morgan Rielly? You miss essentially 2 months. You come back, you play one game, and then they shut the season down.
Well, I think everybody who knows Morgan Rielly's a winner right now. For one reason only.
Oh, my God.
It's choice and girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're a big fan of Tessa Virtue.
Ooh. Come on. Yeah. That's a Canadian crush slam dunk.
Yes.
Come on. That's a power couple.
Yes, that is a
what
Canadian
are we doing
power
here?
Couple. Yes, that is a Canadian
it's legit.
Power couple.
Yeah. Attaboy Morgan.
Absolutely. Attaboy Morgan.
Should have been the captain right
there.
Cheers
to Morgan. Hats off to Morgan.
Should have been the captain. Just for that alone.
Yep.
Good for you.
All right, Rye. We're over an hour here now, buddy.
Well over an hour.
Yeah. What a journey. Yeah, I'm going to have no problem getting to sleep tonight after reliving all that.
I know. It seemed like it went by too fast, but it's hard to cover a whole season in less than 10 hours.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy.
Especially this season, which has been a nut house.
It has been. It's just been like, I was making notes on all this today and listening to parts of old episodes and looking at our Instagram and all kinds of stuff. And I'm just like, oh my God, like all this stuff has happened in 1 year. It's crazy.
And it won't
even
finish. It's
not even over. It's not even over, I know.
It's not even done.
Weirdest season of all time.
It's the weirdest season in any sport, period.
Yeah,
it's the
100%.
Weirdest season of life.
100%.
Of human beings on this earth.
Yeah, 100%. I just want to ask everybody again, keep your suggestions coming. Like, there is no such thing as a bad idea. We want to hear it. Let us know whatever you think is interesting. We'll touch on it. Maybe we'll do a show where we do talk about five different topics and do like 10 minutes on each one or something like that. Like, we're open to any suggestions. Like, this is, we're creating content here, Ryan.
Open book.
Yeah,
if you're bored at home, we got an hour and a bit for you.
For you. Oh, yeah. You're sitting at home wondering what to do.
Play some COD, play some Shell, play some Madden, play some.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever, and throw us on your headset. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. You're
relive
sitting there
the season
in the quarantine, and you just washed your hands. And now you're like, what do I do? You know what you do? You fire up episode 56 of the Talking Buds podcast.
And you learn about inconsistency firsthand.
Oh, yeah. Where we are going to help you relive something you may not want to necessarily relive, but we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, because sometimes you go on your app, your podcast app, and you're bored, and you see that all the shows you listen to, you've listened to all the good episodes and all the new episodes, and then our show pops up and we got a brand new episode, and it's long, and it's for you. And it's for you to enjoy while you do whatever you want to do, whether if you're still working like me, who's still going out building decks and all this crap.
And Ryan, we are on Spotify.
100%. That's GOAT, too. Spotify? You have to.
Yeah.
What were they doing? We tried forever, man.
Yeah, that was.
What was going on?
That was long overdue. I don't know.
Just cutting off half the audience with that
you
one.
And I, yeah, you and I just sitting here putting out shows like a couple of idiots, not putting it on Spotify.
Yeah, because Spotify doesn't do well at all. Nobody has Spotify.
No.
Nobody just exclusively uses Spotify, eh?
We're just like, dummies. Hey, you know this massive platform where people like to get all their content? Let's not put our show on that.
Yeah. Let's just cut out half the population. Right there. You can only go to Apple or YouTube or Stitcher or TuneIn or wherever else our podcast is put on. I go on Google. I type in our name sometimes, and I'm like, what is this site? They're posted our podcast. I don't know what the site is.
Yeah, well,
we didn't sign up for that. But now we're on Spotify.
Yep.
So you got no excuse, man.
No excuses.
Zero excuse.
No excuses and no reason why you cannot hit the subscribe or follow button and leave a review. Please and thank you.
Yeah, that'd be pretty unreal. And all my buddies who've left a review and all your buddies
thank
and
you.
All the
legends,
listeners that Each we haven't met before, but we appreciate so much that you hit that. Even if you just listen every week. We die for the review. We need the five-star review. We need the comment.
Yep.
But
honestly,
if you just listen every single week and enjoy this podcast, that is enough for me.
Legends. All of you. All right, buddy. I think we've overstayed our welcome for this week. So we're going to sign off, and we'll be back next week with a brand new Maple Leaf-related topic for you. Thank you, everyone, for going on this time machine journey with us. We will see you next week.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.